Bonjour et bienvenue à Foreign Film February. Sorry, guys. Let me try that again. Sorry, guys.
I didn't understand a thing you said.
Bonjour et bienvenue à Foreign Film February. Damn it.
Foreign Film February.
February.
Bonjour et bienvenue à Foreign Film February.
February. God damn it. Music.
Everybody, welcome to New World Pictures Podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Erica. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. And Erica.
I love you, Ryan. I love you so much. I will follow you anywhere, Ryan. I will be yours forever and ever and ever, and you will be mine, and we'll never be separated. I love you. I love you, Ryan. I love you. I love you so much.
Oh, man, it's our vows all over again. And that's right. Welcome to Foreign Film February, or as we like to call it, February. Well, we're going to talk about some foreign films that New World Pictures have released. Everybody thinks of Roger Corman starting New World Pictures, and he put out Death Race 2000 and Death Sport. And all these exploitation films, but he also released a ton of foreign films. We're going to be talking about some classics this month. And starting out with a bang, with 1975's The Story of Adele. Sorry. The Story of Adele H.
My name is Leopoldine. My name is Miss Lulu. My name is Mrs. Pinson. My name is Adele. Just Adele, that's my name. I'm Adele. Adele H.
That's right. 1975 is the story of Adele. Brought to you... brought to you by Nigel's Earhorns.
Yes!
Having trouble hearing your client during a meeting because they talk too damn quietly? Well, never fear, because Nigel's Earhorns are here. Conduct your business the way you want, with crystal clear sound you can only get with an ear horn, as long as you point it in the right direction and there's no other sounds happening at the time. Nigel's so Earhorns, get one today. Sorry, get one today!
God, I would love to have one of those ear horns. Seriously.
Yeah, I have found that only in the last year or two, I probably say, what did you say? More than anything else that I say all day long.
Yeah. And just imagine how, like, you could really take that ear horn, and if somebody's saying you don't something you don't want to hear that you don't agree with, you could just be like, slam it down, like, done listening to this bullshit. God, the impression you could make with that ear horn. Ooh.
It's true. It really could be a very visible, I don't care what you're saying at this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, imagine the looks you get from people when you're wandering around the house going, have you seen my ear horn? Have you seen my ear horn?
But also you're shouting it at the top of your lungs.
Have you seen my ear horn? I'm right here. What?
Everyone, shh, listen. Where's the ear horn? I've listened to it. You can hear the ocean in it. That's all you hear when you put it up to your ear. You just hear the ocean. This movie is directed and co-written by Francois Truffaut, who had been a part of the French New Wave, which is neither a surf club nor a synth pop band, but rather a film movement, which included directors like Alain René, who also had a movie released by New World Pictures. But Truffaut had three movies released by New World Pictures, and this is the first that we've covered. Here, wow. Year six, we're finally getting to Truffaut.
What are the other ones?
I believe Small Change and The Green Room.
Sounds hilarious. I can't wait.
Is it literally like change that's really small? So this one focuses on needing your bifocals to find your change.
That's right. This one's all about ear horns, and that one's all about bifocals.
Yes.
I believe that Small Change is the movie he does right after this, and it's actually about children. So he wanted to kind of mix it up and change up his subject matter, because this one was a little dark, just to let everyone know up top. A little dark.
A little rough. Little rough.
But anyway, this film comes after actually a two-year hiatus that Truffaut took from filmmaking after he won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film for 1973's Day for Night. He took some time to just read and chill out. I'm like,
wouldn't
damn,
that be nice?
That's the best.
Wow.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. Truffaut began his interest in Adele H actually in the late 60s and had written an early draft of the film already. But as he mentions in the book Truffaut in Cinema, he was inspired to make this film because of the music. He said, with the story of Adele, the decisive factor was the opportunity to use the music of Maurice Jarre. I had read the book on Maurice Jarre by Francois Porcil, and I saw from the list of his works that many of them had not been published. So I made the style of the film correspond to the music he composed between 1930 and 1940. Maurice Jarre was a film composer, French film composer, and he then was called and went into the war in World War II, and he died as captain of his squad, that was the end of his career. So he brought music that had not been used for a film, and he based a lot of the movie around him. In fact, he actually used the music on set because they recorded it right before they started shooting, and he used it on set for his actors, which includes Isabelle Adjani, who plays Adele in the film. Initially, Truffaut thought of Catherine Deneuve for the role, but by the time he actually got around to making the movie, he decided he wanted something different, as he explained in the book Truffaut in Cinema. He said, I wanted someone who was as strong in English as in French, who was not well known, not too modern, plausible in the 19th century.
Well, I mean, you got all that. It's just that's a high bar. So
yeah, yeah.
Good for him for finding someone.
Catherine Deneuve, not plausible in the 19th century. So he cast Adjani, who was only 19 when she made the film.
Oh, wow.
And she had to leave her theater contract with Comédie Française, a state theater that was not interested in letting Adjani spend 3 months shooting a film. And you know how theater can be with grudges.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's eternal.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Just pausing it for the theater crowd. Just letting the theater crowd nod. Right, right. Just they're nodding.
Good luck walking those floorboards again, if you know what I mean.
But for Johnny, at least, she earned an Academy Award nomination for this film. So I guess it all worked out for her. And probably had those theater people going, hey, great job on that movie. Want to come do our play?
You interested in auditioning for Our Town?
Auditioning. I mean, we still have to see how you fit in the role. I mean, my God, just because you won an Academy Award.
Can't just have anybody play Ma.
Just because you got an Academy Award nomination. I mean, big deal. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. It will be running in the Catskills, so just be prepared for that, too.
Right. Yeah.
They love French plays in the Catskills.
Mm-hmm. Is Our Town a French play?
No, but I'm just assuming she means the French translation.
Yeah, and we've already cast Mrs. Gibbs, so don't even bother, okay?
Yeah, she it's the cousin of the guy who owns the theater. Like, she has to do it.
Yeah,
he won't let us use the theater otherwise. Anyway, here's where you can watch The Story of Adele. It is on. It is on Prime.
It's not getting old.
Nope.
Probably the
it
audience
might even but, be getting funnier.
The audience might be like, "All right, we get it," but no, no, no. We're moving on. Sorry, guys. I'm what you call incorrigible. you can watch it on Prime. You can also watch the Kino Blu-ray, which is how we mm-hmm. watched it. Mark, how mm-hmm. did you yeah. watch? The story of Adele. The Kino Blu-ray.
I really loved the slipcover that matched the interior cover.
That, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was a nice touch.
Mm-hmm. Necessary.
So, yeah.
Hey, do you like this cover?
I got to get a plastic case inside. Around that slipcover that protects the plastic protects case on the inside cover. Of the slipcover.
Yep. I thought it was a really missed opportunity that they didn't have the outside of it be like letters.
Oh yeah.
And then like you open it and then like it's this picture. That's the picture that's on there of like half her face and half of Lieutenant. Lieutenant.
Yeah, back down. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. They didn't add really any slipcover art outside of what was already there. But it has a slipcover and they were like, "That's all you care about." And I'm like, mm-hmm. "Yep." Kind of. In a way. All right, let's talk about what this movie is about. Mark, let's start with you. What is the story of Adele about?
The story of Adele is... It's a 1863 French rendition of Chevy Chase's 1985 classic Fletch. Except this time, Fletch is named Adele. And instead of solving crime, she's looking for lost love. Instead of being a journalist, Adele Fletch is a voracious letter writer. But the rest of the plot is basically the same. She takes on all kinds of wild personas. She has a bunch of different names. She dresses up in different outfits to sneak into places that she wouldn't otherwise be welcome in. It's basically Fletch, set in the 1800s, but there's no water buffalo jokes and the Underhills don't make an appearance.
No, no. She puts it all on her bill.
That's actually her dad's.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Erica, what is this movie about?
This movie is about just how hard it is, I think, to get a guy's attention. You know what I mean? It's like you put on your best dress, you give him money to help him pay for his gambling debts, you follow him around the world, you watch him sleep with other women. I mean, you just visit him night and day. I mean, what else is it going to take? You know what I mean? I mean, come on. What more do we have to do here? Jeez. Come on, guys. Jeez.
Yeah, I think that's true. All correct.
Very
I think
true.
It's very true.
You know, in some ways, you're like, girl, take the hint, girl. Take the hint.
There's not a hint. It is outward, like, please leave.
Said to
please
you.
Leave blatantly. Me alone.
But but while that is true, for me, I felt this movie was about, look, everyone knows when you stay in a hostel, make sure you get a locker for your things, okay? Or you're going to end up sleeping on top of them, under your bed, to keep people's mitts off of them. Like, that's just come on. We all know these rules.
If you had slept on your Walkman, like she slept on a suitcase when we were in that hostel in the Czech Republic,
it
wouldn't have gotten stolen, right?
Well, I hung my jacket up and it was in my Walkman was in a jacket.
You should
pocket.
Have slept on it on the coat hook.
I shouldn't
have
taken the jacket
hung
off.
Yourself
I should have
on the
walked
coat hook.
With, around with it. And should
you should have put the jacket on, then the Walkman on and held it and slept it all on.
Yeah, never. Yeah, they got a cool chameleon's tape. That's really, really.
How long do you think before they threw that chameleon's tape out?
3 seconds.
Ryan, was it that same old woman that took your Walkman that took Adele's book? Mm-hmm. Was it the same lady?
I recognized her. I was like, oh yeah, okay. I mean, you're in Canada now, but I remember seeing you in the Czech Republic in a really, really bad hostel that was out on the outskirts of Prague. I remember you. All right, let's go to the Letterboxd synopsis. We are on Letterboxd, so give us a follow there if you can. Adele Hugo, daughter of... spoilers. spoilers for the film. The spoilers for the film that goes out of its way to take Hugo out of the title. But anyway, here we go. Adele Hugo, daughter of renowned French writer Victor Hugo, falls in love with British soldier. This is their syntax here. Falls in love with British soldier Albert Pinson while living in exile off the coast of England. That is quite off the coast when you think of Nova Scotia as off the coast.
But technically it is off the coast.
If you want to talk about Guernsey,
say off the coast, I know that you visualize that it's just like you could see it off the coast, but technically it still is.
I don't know. If you fold the map, like maybe the map was folded when they looked at it, so they felt right. Like, well, these are pretty close.
In fact, if you fold a map and you get Nova Scotia on one side and England on the other, does it make like a funny character like the back of a Mad Magazine?
Mad Magazine, yeah. I think they're probably referencing her living in Guernsey, one of the Channel Islands, but that's still like between, I don't know, thinking of that even as off the coast is a little much, but all right. Off the coast seems like it's like near shore. Like there, she has a houseboat on the docks and she just hangs out there. Anyway, though he spurns her affections, she follows him to Nova Scotia and takes on the alias of Adele Lulie. True. That's all true.
Yeah. Yeah. For a little while.
Albert continues to reject her, but she remains obsessive in her quest to win him over.
Mm-hmm. Obsessive cannot be understated.
Yeah.
I like in her quest to win him over. That sounds like she's just like, hey, man, come on, man, let's hang. Yeah, I'm cool. Didn't sound like.
Yeah.
She wants a little bit more than just like him being like thinking that she's all right, you know?
Yeah.
But all right. Yeah, that is the movie. And it starts out at the time of the Civil War, of the American Civil War. And Britain was gearing up for possibly joining the war or on either side, says the voiceover. But Britain was a pretty heavy trade partner with the South, especially with cotton. And they did supply the South with arms. So you be the judge of which side they would have chosen. Just saying.
They could have flipped at any time. I mean, I think they want to pick a winner, right?
Yeah, right.
So
yeah,
that's why they were hanging out in Nova Scotia, just waiting to see. Let's just see how this plays out. We don't want to be on the losing side.
We don't
want to
pick a side, but also here's some weapons. I mean, we're just saying,
right?
Just use those at random. We begin in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where Adele has arrived under an alias. Once she settles in to where she's staying, she visits a notary public to ask if he can track down a British soldier named Lieutenant Albert Pinson. Because her niece, she says, is in love with him, which turns out to be totally untrue because it's Adele that's obsessed with a soldier. And that's what the whole movie's about, as we went over. Now, two questions. Is this one of the earliest cases of asking for a friend?
Yes. Yeah, I wrote that in my notes. So. She was asking for a friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But also, do notary publics track people down PI style? Do I not know what a notary public does?
I've also never picked up my mail in the bank. So, I mean, there's a lot going on in Nova Scotia that I have questions about.
It's different rules.
Different rules.
Do you need, are you here to take some money out, sir? No, this is where my PO, this is where my PO box is.
That's actually Paul Oliver Box. He works over there. He's the one that holds my mail. P.O. Box. Hey, P.O. Box.
My name is Paul.
All right. All right.
You Paul know, my... B.
Oh, P.O. Don't get all P.O.'d.
I don't even understand what that means.
It's 1863.
So yeah, she's gonna try to track him down, but first she has to find a place to stay, and she pulls up in front of a hotel, and we don't really get to see the hotel, but it's presumed that it's sort of it's not a very nice place. So then he takes
Was that the case? There were people talking outside of it. I thought maybe it was more of a situation where she thought she might be noticed.
But she was like, oh, I can't stay here. So I took it like this was this was maybe 2 stars on TripAdvisor, and she was like, "Oh boy, this I've read about this."
The 1863 version of TripAdvisor,
right? It was outdated very quickly, but still, those 2 stars were meaningful. So he takes her to a boarding house, which is essentially a B&B, and she proceeds to live there for, I guess, a couple years.
Yeah,
like at what point do you graduate from being a guest at the B&B to being a full time paying resident?
Like never is the answer. As according to this movie, never. There is no grace. There is no, you know, clemency period. They're like, you're here until the money dries out, in which case you're out on your ass.
Yeah. Which it does eventually.
It does eventually. Yeah. She lies all over town about Lieutenant Pinson and how she's not into him. Well, mainly the bookstore she frequents and also the B&B, as we said, that she stays in. At one point, she calls Pinson her cousin, though not really her cousin, but she calls him cousin. But she does get an opportunity to communicate with him and send him a letter. And then she spills the beans and thankfully narrates as she writes, which is a huge help because otherwise, I don't know how we would know what she's saying. But she professes her love, and this is the letter that she's going to send. But when Mr. Saunders, the owner of the B&B, who brings the letter to Lieutenant Pinson, he comes back from delivering it. He has some news for Adele.
I saw your cousin, Miss Lully.
You saw him?
Yes.
How did he look?
Well, he was dressed up to the nines. Yes, I've never seen anybody looking so ill.
What was he talking about? Did you hear what he was saying?
He told funny stories. Really funny ones. He had them all laughing. Even the footmen were in stitches.
And the letter. Did you give the letter to Miss Lully's cousin?
Yes, of course I did.
But what are you waiting for? Give Miss Adele a reply.
Well, there was no reply. The lieutenant read the letter but didn't want to answer it.
Oh. It doesn't matter. I didn't really expect a reply.
This is the equivalent of texting somebody, and then you see those 3 dots come up, and you're like, oh, they're responding, and then they go away, and then you get nothing for days. And you're like, what happened, dude? Why didn't you? I thought, I just texted you. What? I know you saw it. I mean.
Right. Yeah, and you're like, wait, oh. But it's also, it's someone else putting you into a group chat where someone else introduces you to the conversation and that person replies,
right.
And you both get ghosted. And you're like, wait, now none of you are talking to me. What just happened? What just transpired?
I guess it's like being thrown into a group chat where they're like, oh yeah, I threw an old friend of yours apparently into the group chat. And they're like, oh no. And they're like, I can't say anything in this group chat because I'm going to let everyone else know that I hate this person. And then they might judge me for it. So right. I can't do that. Damn it. I have to just say nothing because I don't know what else to do. Yeah, it's true. She does, though, eventually get him to come by the B&B. So we do eventually get him to stopping by here. And
I'd like to speak to the young lady who lives here.
Oh, Miss Lully, yes, she'll be so... What name shall I say?
Tell her it's her friend from Guernsey who's come to see her.
From Guernsey, yes. Come in, sir, please.
That's it. It's very quick because... because there's only so many scenes that are in English in this. So, I mean, I could have clipped the French scenes, but it just seems like, what's the point? Truffaut actually said that they shot every scene in French and English. And they'd actually shoot the French version first and then the English version. And then his director of photography, Nestor Almendros, said the English version was actually better, but only because they had just done the French version, so they had some time to do both. But it was a bit of exhausting to shoot both versions throughout the entire shoot. Anyway, the first meeting between Adele and Albert does not go well, as Adele goes from being sweet and loving and telling him that she loves him, and then she's like, I'll ruin your career and I'll get you kicked out of the army when he doesn't warm to her. And unfortunately, it's the best exchange she's gonna have with him for the whole film.
But I mean, I can't blame her. I mean, those cheekbones, they are they are a spectacle to look at. I gotta tell you.
Yep.
Hand some, but
yeah.
Yeah. He is played by Bruce Robinson, who was in Zeffirelli's Romeo and Juliet. And he does not play Romeo, but he would soon leave acting altogether to write and direct movies. And he actually won an Academy Award for adapting The Killing Fields.
Mm. Oh,
and wow. Then he would write and direct with Nail and I and How to Get Ahead in Advertising.
Okay.
And he actually has quite the resume. He then wrote Fat Man and Little Boy the same year as How to Get Ahead in Advertising. Then he writes and directs Jennifer 8. People remember Jennifer 8? My God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he eventually shoots The Rum Diary in 2011. So, I mean, he's got a good little career going as a writer-director. Yeah. That's what he left acting and had a good career. Anyway, Adele continues basically to write her parents, telling them that she's going to get married and everything's going well, when in fact they're just not going well. Nothing's going well. She takes to spying on Albert during his trysts with other women. She ignores the bookstore owner, who clearly likes her and is a nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on.
He's like the Gail Stanwyck of this movie. So let that sink in. And when she does go spy on him when he's having a tryst,
Fletch does get together with Gail Stanwyck, doesn't it? Like, that doesn't happen, right?
Yeah, but right. This is a PG movie, and it's set in the 1800s. His romance is different. And when she does spy on her lover, who is hooking up with somebody else, she goes real Manhunter and, like, somehow finds a treehouse behind the house that he's in and just proceeds to watch as they get amorous with each other. Like, did Manhunter steal that from this movie?
Yeah. Or and, the next day, a detective on the edge, or I should say a notary public on the edge, comes, climbs back up in that tree, sees what she's
whittled.
She's whittled into the tree. Like, what were you thinking about? What did you see? You know what? I gotta go see one of the people I have trapped.
Yeah, that's the director's cut, which has not been released on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's unfortunate. It's a bummer that they didn't do that.
It is.
By the way, you did point out that this movie is PG, Mark. And what's funny is that Eric and I watched this movie definitely when the kids were asleep. We were like, get out of here. They absolutely could have seen this movie. We're just so used to New World movies where we're like, well, you can't watch this. And so we had to kick them out. But you can actually watch this for the whole family if you want to, if that's what you want to do.
Right.
So anyway, and then she comes down with a cold. And her doctor...
No, technically. She comes down with pleurisy, which is when you're not... Right. I'm no doctor, but I know what pleurisy is all about. What it is you're not allowed to ever use singular nouns while you have this inflection, which makes it really hard when you go to like a bar and you're like, bartender, we will order beers. Or you're like, hey... We're hungry. We thinks we will order pizzas. You always get double of everything because you're incapable of using any singular nouns. It's a tough inflection to.
Oh no! What's wrong with you? I have colds.
Well, you wouldn't say I. You'd say we because you know have colds, you're plural, incapable. Plural. We have colds.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
Wait, we? What do you mean? Actually, in Adele's case, could be right.
Could be true.
The we might fit.
She never quite gets over that. In fact, it takes over her whole psyche as the movie progresses.
Yeah, that also around this really time sticks she with starts.
Also around this time in the movie, she starts wearing what I can only imagine are draperies as dresses. I don't know if that was a thing in Halifax.
Some curtains. But yeah,
her curtain dresses get real wild. As the movie progresses,
but they
also
but the
a bit tattered.
And were those her sister's dresses or hers? Because she does have that moment where she sort of starts to tell the woman who's the homeowner that of the bed and breakfast, if you will, that she's living at, that she you know, to like put the clothes away, and she doesn't want to see the dresses anymore, and she doesn't want to see. So I was like, are they her dresses? Are they her sister's?
I didn't. Yeah, she has that moment where she freaks out in bed, and she's just like, I don't, my eyes hurt. I don't want to see anything. And I'm like, I don't know. It was that because yeah. It's a good question. I don't know.
I know we're not at final questions, but just wondering if anybody else was wondering about that. Because she has the jewels. She has the jewelry right, that won't was her wear sister's, her sister's
but... jewelry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But she does have a doctor who comes in and checks her pleurisy and diagnoses her. And he's the one that discovers that she is, in fact, the youngest child of Victor Hugo.
Do you realize, Mrs. Saunders, that your lodger is the daughter of the most famous man in the world? Do you think we ought to tell her that we know who she is?
Oh, no, Doctor. If Miss Adele's hiding under an assumed name, she's got a very good reason for doing so. No, she's an honest person, incapable of doing anything wrong. Now, if she wants to conceal her identity, we must respect her wishes.
You're quite right. We must keep this to ourselves.
Just a moment. I want to make a note of the address.
Yes, I want to know where to send her things when she runs out of money.
Yes, and she's such an honest person, she doesn't want anyone to know her name. So there's she really contradicts herself in a matter of two sentences there. So
yeah
that also felt like a conversation that would never happen with any real people.
It was a scene where they're like, okay, well, they have to figure out the secret, so I guess we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And as which is, they figure it out not even like midway through the movie. But also, like, the lady that runs the B&B, she's so nice and kind to her, but like, when the shit goes really south, which it's already starting to, where is she? Is she just back ironing? What is she? What happened?
Yeah, she is very kind, but in the end, this is a working business, and the business needs to turn a profit. So, sorry, yeah, lady. Right. Sorry, right. Adele.
Yep.
Hey, sorry, Adele.
Go.
Yeah. Those cauliflowers aren't going to buy themselves at the market. You know what I mean? Mm.
You think she was making a cauliflower mash?
I was thinking that. Yeah. I was like, she's going to turn that into fake mashed potatoes.
But back then, it's 1863. Think of how badly it all smells. Like, a cauliflower might have been, like, fragrantly wonderful, you know? It might have been like, oh, delicious. Because you're just walking around with horse shit everywhere and, you know, human shit probably pouring out of
the
window.
The stench of pleurisy?
Yeah.
Sorry, the stenches of pleurisy?
Yeah.
There you go. I was going to correct you. Thank you. Thank you.
As you can tell, things aren't going to continue to go well. She dresses up like a guy at one point to meet Albert to give him a note of consent that she, for marriage that she gets from her parents, and he rejects that too. Does not stop her.
Right.
One thing you can say about Adele, her most aggressive trait, her resiliency. She will not give up.
Yeah.
Is not going to give up.
She even goes to a hypnotist show that Albert is attending with a lady friend to see if she can get the hypnotist to teach her how to hypnotize someone in hopes of doing so to Albert. Look, if she wanted Albert to do chicken sounds or dance the Macarena, sure. Hypnotism, that's the way. That's what you do. Totally. But everlasting love? You're barking up the wrong tree there, Adele.
Yeah. Then she quickly finds out that he is a scam artist. So she then goes, after that, she really starts to go into a spiral. She starts starts wearing glasses, which I couldn't tell if this is meant to symbolize the passage of time.
Yeah.
Or if her prescription for one-a-day contact lenses had finally run out and she couldn't get it refilled.
There was all new people at the bank, so they couldn't give her her mail. So
that's true. Like, that's true. Please. They had complete turnover in the bank.
As a guy puts one in his eyes, like, I don't know what you're talking about. We didn't receive such things.
Yes, you did receive a letter from Bausch and Lohm.
It sounds like
So
some lovely barristers.
She then starts walking around the city, tattered, She's living in basically, I don't know, a homeless shelter.
Yeah.
And Albert gets transferred to Barbados. When she's walking around the city, she walks past the bookstore where Mr. Whistler sees her talking to herself. And I have to think he watches her and is thinking, wow, I dodged a bullet on that.
Oh, big time. Oh, big time, dude.
Wow. I am so happy that she walked out when I bought her those fancy books.
Mm-hmm. From her, that her dad wrote.
That her dad wrote. Because she thought that he knew who she was and that she was, you know, she tells him, you know, don't believe the rumors or what have you, because she's still trying to keep up this separate persona. But she ends up somehow ending up in Barbados. In her state of mind at that point in the movie, I feel like it was a real miss for us to see how she booked travel to Barbados and got through customs dealt with luggage. And just the obviously more challenging than today, but still the everyday challenges of travel.
Yeah.
When she is just talking to herself, wearing a beat up, torn up drapery dress. There was a real opportunity for some comic relief
in her state of mind
that we didn't get.
How did that work out? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But once she gets to Barbados, she does learn that that's where the only real helpful people are in this world.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true. She's taken in by a family. She's still fighting her pleurisies and she's talking to herself. And then at some point they figure out in Barbados, much faster than they did in Nova Scotia, they figure out who she is and say, you know, we should send her back home.
Yeah.
She's and not in a good state
with her family saying, mm-hmm. we have her. How do you want us to do this? We could take her back. Send us money. We'll take her back over there. All that. I mean, and that really happened. They nursed her back to health for years.
Yeah.
And then they brought her back to Paris to be with, you know, I guess to be with her family, or really though, to live the rest of her days in a sanitarium, or a hospital, let's say.
I think it was a sanitarium though, because she was, the movie doesn't really outwardly say this, but she was schizophrenic before she left for Nova Scotia. It just accelerated rapidly when she got there.
Sure.
And she did live there. And the movie also doesn't make it exactly clear, but historically, by the time she got back, her mom and dad had already passed.
She outlives. She's the only kid
out of five.
Victor Hugo that outlived her parents.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So gather around, get the kids, you know,
it's PG.
Pop some popcorn and just everybody, you know, get cozy and let's just watch let's watch Adele.
That's it. So
I think we should talk about things we j'adore and things we je déteste.
Yes.
I only know how to say things I love and I hate. And those might be wrong. I don't know how to say we. I don't have the pleurisy. I don't know how to say we hate.
That's all right.
We love.
That's all right. We're going to talk about the things we love and the things we hated, or the things I loved and things I hated individually. Let's start with you, Mark. What's something you loved?
Well, we've already talked about it, but it is what I loved. And that is that it is a rated PG movie. So it is a movie you can gather the whole family around. Just pop some popcorn. Gather the kids, teenagers, little kids, doesn't matter. They're all going to love this movie, young and old. It's a movie that your kids will thank you for letting them watch. It's a subject that everyone can enjoy. And in the end, it's a happy, inspiring ending.
Wow.
Did we do Foreign Film February just to trick Erica into another June gloom, but she just didn't realize it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a prisoner here. Yep. That's correct. Just put lipstick on that June gloom pig. Called it Foreign Film February.
February.
It's working. February.
February.
Erica, what's something you loved?
I, believe it or not, liked this movie. I thought it was really interesting. I didn't really... I always fancied myself a Francophile, yet didn't realize that this was a story about one of Victor Hugo's children. So I actually really liked it. I thought it was interesting, and I didn't, you know, realize until watching it that it would be a movie
Mark,
that I liked.
Calm down.
So maybe I'm a prisoner here. Maybe this is Stockholm Syndrome. Maybe this is, I don't know what it is, but I actually liked it. Maybe it was just the time period, you know, period piece. I can't put my finger on it, but
you love just about everything about it, more or less. Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love a good night terror, you know, love a good night terror scene.
Sure.
I love, you know, Airbnbs that stick to their guidelines. And when your money runs out, you're out. You know, I love the Wild West that is a hostel. I love the friendliness and welcoming open arms of Barbados and their people.
Yep.
I don't know. What's not to love, guys?
I don't know.
Where do I begin?
Oh, wait till Things We Hated.
I loved, the lead performance, Isabella Gianni, was absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
in this. I cannot believe that she was 19 years old when she shot this movie.
Yeah.
I find that to be incredible. Mm-hmm. That's a hard role to take at that point in time.
It's hard to take it and not have it come off like melodramatic or like overacted or silly. I think she does a good job.
Yeah. I also enjoyed how well much he showed it all in close up. He made a very concerted effort, Truffaut did, to kind of really get close in on people and not do a lot of wide shots. He tries to keep the world very contained, which makes sense because it's kind of a story about one person going crazy in their own head. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that was really well done. I really liked it. Thought it looked really good.
Yeah.
Mark?
Look, I agree that she does... Things I hated. I have a thing that I hated, but let me just get this out. I agree that the acting was very well done, but this movie establishes very quickly that she is an obsessive psychopath, and that is the movie for an hour and a half. It
yeah.
doesn't do it. It doesn't go anywhere but that. And after a while, you're like, I got it. This person is crazy. Oh, great. We're going to still... watch her have crazy dreams and talk to herself for another hour.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't change. It doesn't mm-hmm. go anywhere. It is just her being a psychopath for an hour and a half. And after a while, I'm
but
like,
only for an hour and a half.
I watched
amazing.
This.
It easily yeah, could have been
90 minutes. My
easily
God,
easily could
90
have been
minutes.
2 hours. I mean,
yeah,
I watched,
it's from France, Mark. They could have made this a 3-hour movie if they felt like it.
It's,
and they probably
it's from
would have won some more
off the shore
awards.
Of Britain, Ryan. It's from off the shore of Britain.
That could be anywhere.
I watched this with my wife, and after about halfway through, she went, I got it. And she got up and left. And I was so jealous. But what did I really hate? You know what I hate? I hated the hypnotist. Why?
Wow.
What? I hate hypnotists. I hate them. Because... hypnotists, first of all,
spoken by somebody who's been hypnotized.
First of all, I think hypnotism is bullshit. I think it's like if you're
no
bad,
way.
If
totally
you're
real,
if
Mark.
You are if you are all a hypnotist is a magician that was never good at magic, so they just decided to become a hypnotist. Now, I don't believe that hypnotism is real at all, but if it was, the last person I would want to talk to is a hypnotist because. I would be afraid
trick you
every
into
time
doing
they're
stuff.
Talking to me, they'd be like, you know, all of a sudden I don't have my pants on anymore. Every time. Like we're just walking to go see a concert. And before I even get into the venue, you know, I'm doing the Macarena and my pants are around my goddamn ankles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, why am I hanging out with a hypnotist? So I don't like them. I'm partially, I think they're snake oil salesmen, and I'm terrified them of them.
Of
I'm terrified
them. Sure.
Of them at the exact same time.
Sure.
Mm, wow.
Erica, what did you hate?
Oh, boy, not the hypnotist. Jeez.
Me neither. favorite scene, really.
Yeah.
Not to jump
easily,
there.
Easily.
Yeah. Just because I loved how much hypnotists have not changed. Like, they're the same.
Yeah. It's exactly the same.
It's the same.
Nothing.
But even
does
this like fictional version. No, but that's how they are. We saw hypnotist shows all the time when you were working on cruise ships. And, like, I mean, they're it's, you know, it's the circus. You know what I mean? It's just like,
what are you guys nonsense. Talking about? They don't work.
She's doing the Macarena. What word did I say that tipped her off? Did I say circus? That's what I said. I said circus, and all of a sudden, I'm sorry, Erica. What did you hate?
I hated that when she saw the lieutenant kick that dog down the stairs, that wasn't the thing that snapped her out of this. He kicked a dog downstairs, mm-hmm. and she was like, "What a dreamboat."
I think it was the lady, wasn't it? The lady that kicked him down the stairs that he was.
No, it was him.
It was him.
It was him. The lady goes upstairs. He follows her upstairs, and then the dogs. She had two or three little small dogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he pushes them out of the room. You only see the feet in this shot if you haven't seen it. And then you see him kick one of the dogs, and the dog fell down the stairs. Actually, I think
one of them totally did fall down the stairs.
Totally falls down the stairs. But I thought, wouldn't that be enough to be like, ew, he's not kind?
Wouldn't it have been enough for also the woman he's with?
I would agree. Yeah.
She was like,
what'd you just do to my dogs?
You just kicked my dogs down the stairs, but whatever. I mean.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this says something about me, but as I was watching that scene, I'm dead serious. All I thought was, those dogs aren't alive anymore.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
No. Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
that happened in probably 1983. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. I guess I'm at that stage of life where I just start watching movies and going, oh, those people aren't alive anymore. Huh.
That's all you can think about.
That sounds like a really fun way to watch movies. You know what'll get you out of that? You know what'll snap you out of that? Hypnotism.
This is a good call, Erica. I can see why you had such a bad reaction to this movie. When you're going in with that kind of attitude, this movie is like, oh, you have that attitude? Wait till you see. We have that attitude in spades. Just wait. Mm-hmm. You've got that attitude all over the place. Just look out. Yeah. So, I mean, I hated. I'm trying to think what I hated. It's pretty clear. I hated the fact that everybody saw her go crazy and just allowed all that stuff to happen. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if you think about this outside of what the movie's telling me, I mean, clearly people knew her and she was living there for years. People knew who she was and they knew she was nuts. And they all were like, oh, well, and like, that's fine if you're a stranger, I guess. But like, people knew her and were like, oh, well, you're nuts. Good luck.
Yeah. You know, just sad.
That's just sad. That's sad. That's the energy I go into movies with.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of those crazy people better. All right. Let's go.
But this was during the time of when they would treat you with leeches. So there, they didn't have a.
Why did we stop, Mark? Why did we stop? Why aren't we still
fair? I don't know.
I could use a good leeching. All right. Let's go to our favorite scene, Mark. What was your favorite scene? Do you have
definitely one? My favorite scene is when Adele. Dresses up, puts on a top hat and dresses up like a guy to crash, I guess, the lieutenant's ball.
Right.
And it is no more convincing than Joyce Heiser's character in the 1985 sleeper hit, Just One of the Guys. I'm like, how does anyone believe this is a man? Impossible.
You know what? It's not that they believe her or believe him, her as him. It's that thing that we talked about and God Told Me To, where it's like, you do something that audacious, everyone's just like, I mean, that's a girl, right? But you're like, but I don't know. I mean, do your thing, I guess. But I mean, I know what you're doing, but I'm curious to see why you're doing it. Because, I mean, we all know you're doing it. So let's see where this goes. I think it's one of those things, you know? The audacity of the act makes people kind of go, okay.
I don't know if there was that same sense of tolerance in the 1860s of just like, sure, I'm curious.
They looked at cauliflowers like they were like bananas, you know? I mean, things were different back then. Can I get one of those cauliflower bananas?
Call bananas?
Sorry, can we get some of those call nanners? I have pleurisy.
Nanners.
Sorry.
Do you mean a single one, or are you actually meaning many?
Are you saying we need some collar nanners? So you want a single cauliflower banana. Okay, I gotcha. Erica, what was your favorite scene?
Yeah, we already mentioned it a little bit earlier, but my favorite scene was the hypnosis, or, you know, her going to see the
hypnotist. Yeah.
Hypnotist. Yeah, that was my favorite scene. I think because I thought, wow, hypnotism's old. I remember being like wowed in that moment. It was like, what? Yeah.
And did you think that scene was BS, Mark, because that Mountie was totally a plant that like got up on stage?
I have seen Hypnotus, and I'm always like, this is...
I've seen it.
And I've always thought, this is bullshit. And so the plant, I was like, yeah, of course. Of course it's a plant.
Yeah. Well, I guess we know what we need to get Mark for his birthday. So...
The home hypnotist kit, or just a friend that's a hypnotist that I'll be terrified to hang out with
all night. Oh no, what's going to happen to me in the morning?
My pants.
What will he or she subtly suggest to me? All right, let's.
You have to talk to me in a very rapid, sing-songy way, otherwise I'll be very suspicious of everything you're saying.
All right, let's get to some final questions. Is it safe to say Halifax's customs system has improved?
I think it is.
I was surprised they did have a fairly locked down system. You know, you got the line forms on this side of the crates and boxes, and there's one guy checking papers.
Is it just me? I know we talked about her getting glasses. Is it just me, though? Did her glasses start to get smaller?
They were minuscule.
They did seem so tiny. I was like, just like, this is, how expensive was paper back then?
Very, I guess.
It felt like probably a rare thing that you could write. Mm-hmm. He was impressed that she was getting paper, but he was also like, I can't pay for two of these. And he's like, don't worry, you can pay me later. And I was like, because I thought, oh, it's probably a little pricey to grab some paper. And yet,
yeah.
And then he's just like, nah, you're good. I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have to assume that it was hard to come by.
Yeah.
To manufacture it must have been much more labor intensive. It's not like he had like a box of like old dot matrix paper he could just throw her way and be like, I don't know what to do with this. You just pull the little things off the sides and it's good.
He's like, no.
God, there was nothing worse when you'd be trying to tear those stupid things off the side and you like rip your paper and it was like, no. Mm-hmm. Or you'd rip it and then just that tiny bit would still stay on. Yep. And you'd be trying to get with your nails, get that tiny little piece that's stuck.
Yeah.
Don't miss
kids
that stuff.
Kids don't even understand. They don't even understand how we had to
they
do
don't.
It. The BFI program notes for the story of Adele Truffaut is quoted saying this. He said, if I had to sum up in 7 points what attracted me to the story of Adele Hugo, they would be, yeah.
I had to summarize in 42 points. I mean, anything more than 3 seems excessive.
You have an hour? Because we're going to go through all 42.
Sit down. You're going to want to hear all these.
I'm assuming somebody asked him for 7 points, I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt. In any case, the 7 points are this. 1, this girl is alone throughout the story. 2, she is the daughter of the most celebrated man in the world. 3, that man is spoken about but never seen. 4, Adele lives under false identities. 5, driven by a fixed idea, she pursues an unattainable goal. 6, not a phrase, not a gesture of Adele's has to do with anything else but her fixed idea. 7, even if she's fighting a losing battle, Adele shows herself continually active and inventive.
Just like Fletch.
There you go. All roads.
Bit by bit, one way or another.
Thank you, Ryan.
What attracted you to the movie?
Well, there's seven things that attracted me to the movie. Oh, shit. So,
okay. And they are?
Hypnotists. Airbnbs. Notaries that also are detectives, private detectives.
Right.
Fancy dresses.
Sure.
A story of two lovers drowning trying to save each other.
Always a good time.
Victor Hugo. And finally, my final piece. Oh, tiny glasses.
There you go. There you go. All right. Some very brief research. This is shot in January to March 1975. The film was not shot in Halifax, but Guernsey, the island that they sort of talk about the Hugo family living on, in the Channel Islands, islands in between France and England, I guess, just off the coast of England, I suppose.
Just right I off guess. The coast.
Well, technically, her dad, historically, was in Guernsey because he was in exile from France. Yes, he France. Was in,
you're right, exactly. Though he did, I think, return to France for the end of his life. But, in fact, there is a house that they shot in Guernsey, and there's a house that they come out of that is supposed to be Victor Hugo's home. And it, in fact, was. It was it was his house. Truffaut, during the making of it, got a little bit of Adela fever himself, according to a biography in which Johnny mentioned that she said that Truffaut got a little close. And she said, quote, "I spent my time warding him off as a woman and as an actress."
Mm.
Got a little,
I hate a close talker. So I totally understand the situation. It, I get it. I feel her pain.
For Truffaut's part, he felt that working with a Johnny was a little tricky, mostly because of her not wanting to rehearse before shooting. He said that it's the opposite of pleasure. It's daily suffering for me and almost an agony for her. For her profession is her religion. And because of that, our shoot is a trial for everyone. It would be too easy to say she is difficult. She is not. She is different from all the women in this profession. And since she isn't even 20, add to this, to her genius, let's not be afraid of words, an unawareness of others and their vulnerability, which creates an unbelievable tension. Hmm. Which makes sense. She's 19. She's unaware that the way that she goes about things annoys people. That makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, ah, I love her, but I hate her. Ah, she's annoying, but she's so brilliant. And which is makes sense for what she said, which she was like, bro, enough. Let me do my thing. So anyway, interesting. New World picks this movie up in 1975, and they actually have it end the New York Film Festival in September, where it becomes highlighted as the like best movie of the entire festival. I believe they were putting some of their other movies in at that time, too, because it opens in 1975 in New York. That's where it started. You know, we went over this a little bit during Cries and Whispers, Whispers and Cries, where the way that they made these foreign films is they would kind of just make a print and then they would tour this print around. Normally, they would make several more prints for the regular movies, but for the, like the foreign films, they would just kind of move them around from place to place. So it starts in New York in 1970 in December, but then they tour it around, but they don't make many prints of these things. Saves costs. Anyway, it does apparently earn $1 million in rentals after opening, and it followed The Romantic English Woman, which is a Joseph Losey movie, the guy who directed Steaming. I don't want to be confused. Yeah. And also, he right around the same time, after Romantic English Woman, this comes out, and The Lost Honor of Katharina Blum by the director of the next movie we're going to do, Volker Schlondorf, who also directed The Tin Drum. So those was what they were putting out at the end of 1975, New World Pictures, just inundating people with some classic foreign films. And that's it. That's Adele. The story of Adele. What a ride we had. We're just starting, guys. This is just the beginning of February, and we're gonna be talking about four movies all month. We hope you're gonna get into it. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to hear our past episodes, you want to hear our February episodes from last month and all the episodes before that, you can go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. And you can find all of our socials and our t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt. We have plenty of designs. Tons of fun stuff. Help support the podcast. Get yourself a t-shirt. You can wear around and people can go, what's that? And you go, it's a podcast t-shirt. And goes, oh, you're one of those people who listen to podcasts. Okay. Wear it around your judgiest friends. Anyway, we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.